I'm ready when everyone else is. Ready? Okay, we'll go ahead and call the county council meeting to order. It's February 12th, and it is 7:01 p.m. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Wego.
Here.
Warwick.
Here.
Carmine.
Here.
Enright.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on January 22nd. I did have one correction in the third paragraph of the first page. Lauren Kravig, should be K-R-A-V-I-G instead of Kravich.
K-R-A-V-I-G.
That's what I believe, yes. Any other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Next up is Ken Lundquist from the tree board. Ken, we'll have you come up here to the microphone so we can get it on our
shaking
panel.
Okay.
Ken is going to give us an update on the tree board and what they've been doing. And so, Ken, I'll go ahead and just turn it over to you. And
ready. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. On behalf of the Columbia City Tree Board, I want to thank you for granting me the time to kind of run over the year 2012, which undoubtedly, since I've become president, was a year that we'll probably remember for quite a while. But as always, 2012 starts out. We started out with we always get to go down to Mary Graver with the second grade class. And we have the opportunity to celebrate Arbor Day with them. The big event of the day is when the mayor comes down and reads for the proclamation, and all the kids all get excited and everything else. But a lot of parents show up for that, and we're grateful for that. But if anybody has the opportunity, that will be coming up again. But it's a fun time. Only takes about 45, maybe an hour out of your time and everything. And these kids put on quite a show. They put their heart and soul into it and everything. So in May, we've always had regulations as far as planting the trees, the cutting the trees, the pruning the trees, and stuff like that. The only trouble is the regulations that we had really didn't have enough meat in it to them, and a couple times we found ourselves running into a little problem. So thanks to the mayor and the attorney, city attorney McNagney, we were able to get that all straightened out. We got a lot of the technical stuff taken care of and everything, and now when it comes down to it, we have very strict regulations as far as street trees now is what we're talking about, but regulations pertaining to the removal, the pruning, the stump grinding, and whatever else has to be done to those trees. So that was a kind of a milestone. I think that's kind of a turning point for the board at that point. June 29th, kind of the next episode, everybody remembers the wind. Shortly after that, about a week after that, we had called in our arborist out of Davy Resources, and I spent the day with him. We went around and checked for damage. We had roughly 23 trees that were beyond repair or able to survive. So naturally, we got a hold of the electrical department and everything, and they cut those trees down and took care of that situation. And while I'm on that topic, what I'd like to say, though, is this arborist has been around to numerous cities and everything else, and he had nothing but praise for the electrical department here in Columbia City. He's been to other towns roughly our size, plus he just come out of Fort Wayne where they really had a heck of a mess. But he could not believe. He thought when he come in here a week or so later that there'd still be stuff all over the place and power lines down and everything else. But there was not. He was totally impressed with the fact. So my hat's off to the electric company. Just done a heck of a job of getting that mess cleaned up. Ash tree situation. We started out a couple years ago. We had about 160 ash trees that had to come down. There's been a lot of talk that, you know, some cities are trying to save them and everything else. Some of the reading I've been doing on it, and that's probably going to last for a while, but it's probably not going to work. Most of them now are starting to throw the towel in that they're not going to be able to save those ash trees. And now that we were figuring that possibility, the ash board was going after certain ash trees, but it's going after all of them now. So, but one of the things about it, going around with the arborists and everything else, again, Columbia City was kind of lucky, because back during the 60s, when a lot of these went in, we didn't get carried away in Columbia City. So as far as, it's a minimal thing as far as our trees go and everything. But we, the best I can tell right now, we took down 14 of them last year. We got about another 50 to go yet. We're in the process of taking down 50 a year. Ash trees on the normal take trees we brought back in. We went back around and we wound up with, we had 23 from the storm. We had 33 directed trees by the arborist now that had to come down, and 14 plus the 14 ash trees. So out of that, we have roughly 56 trees last year that we removed. And one of the problems is with it is out of those 56 trees, this is the other problem that Columbia City is probably going to face, but 86% of those were maples. So we think the Columbia City didn't get carried away in the 60s planting ash trees, but they got really carried away planting maple trees. And silver maples got a lifespan of about 50 years, so you can kind of visualize what's happening. So when we go out and replant trees, and we got 35 of them going in this year, we're staying away from maples. We're not going to plant any more maples, and we deter anybody from this city planting any more maples. We've got plenty of them. So to combat that problem, so we don't wind up, because the next thing is, if there's something wrong with maple trees, we get to have them all wiped out the whole city. So to compound that problem, to get away from that problem, what we're doing now is we're going to different types of trees and everything. So you'll be hearing like honey locust, burr oak, ginkgo, Canadian red cherry, and Kentucky coffee tree. Those are the type of trees that we're putting in now, and staying away from ones that's actually staying away from the maple trees. As you know, when we plant trees and that, we always send a letter out to the individuals where we're planting those trees, and we ask for their help and support and hopefully taking care of those trees, the water and stuff like that. But sometimes that works out more for us, and sometimes it doesn't. So, fortunately, in 2012, with the drought and everything else, we did not plant any trees. So the arborist said, we kind of lucked out on that situation. But we will be planting, and we've already put the bid out this year, and we'll start planting just as soon as the weather allows. Now, Nicholas Stiles, Nadine Lamley, Gloria Banker, Candace Yeagle, Janice Daniel, Michael Malcolm are the other ones on the board with me. And basically, we're seven people trying to maintain and improve the urban forestry of Columbia City. And some of the activities that they helped me with over the year and everything is that twice a year we came down and tried to take care of the downtown trees here, weeded in them and cut off suckers and things like that. They helped me analyze, and we put out the two bids, one for pruning and one for planting this year. And also, working through Martha, I think there was roughly over 20 different citizen complaints, not complaints, but concerns, where I was sent out to contact those people. Of all the concerns that came in, I can pretty well guarantee you that everyone is contacted either personally by myself or a board member, and or they were contacted by phone. So anytime anybody called in with, hey, I got a dead limb here or widowmaker here or something like that, we made sure that we got on it. Just to give you a little idea of what looking for next year, of course, we've been planting. We got 35 trees that we're going to be planting. We have already trimmed 91 trees. I made sure I went around and checked, and all those 91 trees have been trimmed according to our specifications, and we'll be getting the planting done. What we would like to do, one of my goals this year, would be hopefully to have 100% success rate in the planting of those trees, because we very well know that some of them don't get taken care of that we would like some of the residents to do. So we're just going to try to figure out a way that we can go out there and keep those watered, so because that's an expensive proposition. The other thing that we'd like to do is, when we met with the arborists beforehand, we were going to try to divide the city up into four quadrants. And we were going to use Van Buren Street and Main Street as the intersecting points. So we'd have the four different quadrants. So next year, or let's say this year, we work in this quadrant up here, the northeast one, then we go into the northwest the following year, and you get out of 5-year revolving going to those. What happens? Because not that, what we've been doing is we've just been kind of running around to everything. We've tried to put out a fire over here, a fire over here, and a fire over here. But unfortunately, now what happens, what you wind up, you wind up taking 56 trees down, you got 91 trees you got to trim. And I tell you, that takes a lot out of a budget. So it's we're hoping to get to that so we can get a system, because if you look at a tree system, usually by the time you check it and come back in 5 years, that's just about the time we make a determination whether it needs more trimming and or that tree should be removed and cut down. So we're going to maybe push for that. We got started on that, but then everything kind of got dropped. So, but anyway, that's what we plan on doing. And also, when we hand out bids and everything else, what we are also going to do, and I did it the first time we hand out the bids, but we're going to reinforce to people that get bids for planting trees and or trimming trees here in Columbia City that we're a customer. And I think sometimes they kind of forget that. So, last but not least, strong, healthy tree always starts with a good foundation or trunk. This in turn leads to strong and healthy limbs. We, the tree board, are very fortunate to have Martha Akers as our foundation. Through her guidance, the tree board is flourishing and continues to be what we think is an integral part of the community. Being certified as the Tree City USA is something that Martha does not take lightly. This year, we had our backs on the wall because of circumstances beyond our control. It looked like our run of 20 straight years of being certified was in jeopardy. But I should have known that Martha was not going to let that happen. In a flurry of activity, Martha pulled the forms and documents together and kept our application for Tree City USA was sent on in time. This kept our streak alive. On behalf of the tree board and myself personally, I would like to thank Martha for all the help and advice she has given us throughout the year. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that very much. If you wouldn't mind, well, if there's any questions from the council, I do want to say prior to that, though, that Ken has been a great leader for our tree board. Very engaged, very active. He knows his stuff about our trees. He really does. And he's done a great job at addressing some of those issues around the city. And so I do want to applaud Ken and the tree board as a whole and their work, as well as, like Ken had mentioned, and Martha, my assistant, who absolutely has a passion for our trees and our community. So I want to applaud both of those groups of people. Now I'll open it up if the council or anyone else has questions of Ken in regards to street trees or what we're doing or anything like that. I'm sure he'd be able to at least try to answer some of the stuff. Okay. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, council. Thank you.
Okay. Next up on the agenda is Ordinance 2013-dash, what is it now?
One.
Is it still dash one?
Yeah.
Okay, still dash one, okay. 2013-1, can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-1 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-1, an ordinance amending Chapter 51, Sewage Service for the Code of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay, and I will allow Mike and Marcia and Rosie or whoever else wants to talk about this. If you remember when we were working on our, I believe this is, comes off of this, when we were working on our stormwater ordinance, right, wasn't this came out of that. You remember there was some question from Mike and I think even Marcia about those, the ordinances that also feed into our water ordinance and identical language between the two, and I think that this ordinance clears that up a little bit, but I'll let you guys describe it in much more detail than I just did.
I'll let you, yeah.
Basically, after the stormwater ordinance, I went through and was going through this, and a lot of this has not been, some of the sections were not updated since 1959. So we updated a lot of the definitions in here. Some of the things that pertain to Kelly's department over sewers, the way they're installed and how they need to be installed. And then also, going along the same lines as stormwater, put the verbiage in here. Begins along the same way, but it's different because we're dealing with a sanitary sewer instead of a storm sewer. And then it also, sections in here deal with, it makes us compliant with our NPDES permit that we have to have an ordinance stating those certain things. And then we have to uphold that ordinance along with, you know, the illicit discharge and connections and things like that. We have to have it in our ordinances. So we are compliant now after this, as long as this is approved, we'll be compliant with that. Let's see. There was also some charges in here that originally, I believe, they were set at $10. And that was back in 1959. We have increased that to $250 per violation for each day a violation continues or exists.
Is that in line with other communities? And
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
So what are those violations that would trigger that fine?
That would be... an illegal discharge under that section, illegal connections, which is any grain conveyance, whether surface or subsurface, which allows illegal discharge of inter-sanitary sewer, including but not limited to any conveyances which allow any stormwater, surface water, groundwater, roof runoff, subsurface drainage, cooling water, unpolluted industrial process water to enter the sanitary sewer. Any connection to the sanitary sewer from floor drains, perimeter drains, sump pumps, or any stormwater connection as stormwater is defined in Chapter 56, regardless whether the drain or connection had been previously allowed, permitted, or approved by the city. Those types of things will get you your fine. And that's something that we have to uphold under our permits. And if we know of things like that, we ask people to remove them. If they don't get removed, then obviously we're not going door to door and do inspections. But if something like that is known, you know, we would obviously ask them, you know, please remove this. It's in violation of an ordinance. You know, just like any other one, you have so many days to correct the problem. After that, then obviously they'd be assessed the $250 fine.
Again, this mirrors a lot of what's in the stormwater ordinance that we approved.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of the same thing. Some of the in the stormwater ordinance talks about stormwater, which is how was that stated, Marcia? It's not illicit, but it's I can't remember the word, but basically it's okay for that type of water to go into a storm drain. It's the exact opposite for a sanitary sewer. Those are illicit discharges.
Okay.
So I guess if we had any further discussion on how we're going to notify people that we're doing this, because as I said, you know, your connection may have previously been allowed and approved by the city. Now it's not allowed. I mean, my concern is some of these older houses that have drains in the floor. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people don't know where the drains run. And the only way to fix them is to tear up the concrete floor in your basement.
Yeah. It's not coming from me. It comes from...
No, I understand that, but...
And like I said, I'm not going door to door and find out, but if there are some that we do know of, obviously we would submit a letter to them and ask them to remediate the problem.
I would assume
we don't plan on going door to door and looking for problems and issues and causing problems with our residents. No, that is not our intent.
I would say probably part of finding those things would be through what Kelly's guys do in their televising. You may be able to find some things that way, although again, we're not looking for them, but they may, I would assume, right? Would we find any of those through the televising, Kelly?
If we're televising storm, if we're televising sanitary, we're not. But,
yeah.
Right. We don't televise a lot of storm lines.
Mm-hmm. Mainly because a lot of them are still new.
Right.
Right, so there's no reason to televise, but... I know Jeff at one point had talked about the smoke testing and things like that, which is something that's coming down the pipe. I don't know. We have no definite timeline as for when we can start doing that. But, again, that's something that's highly suggested by the state to finish that. Ironically, I was just reading a story on Howie Politics about, specifically about how the state of Indiana had passed up lots and lots of grant dollars from the federal government. I want to say it was in the 70s to take care of a lot of our sewer and stormwater issues and things like that. And how we're now seeing so many different cities that are facing these huge monetary long-term control plans and things to that effect. So just as a more of an anecdote than anything else, but just saying that, you know, I know at some point down the line we're going to be, is it appropriate to use the word forced to do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, we're going to, it's, as with anything, it continues to get more restrictive rather than more lenient. So yeah, I think that that would be accurate.
So there's no definite answer is what I'm saying.
We're not coming out to your house tomorrow.
Yeah. You can have it. I'll turn it up. I'm not tearing up the face.
Okay.
I think if it comes to being forced, I mean, you're going to drive people out of their homes. You're going to have more empty houses. When you got to start tearing up foundations to reroute a drain.
From the sump pump or anything like that.
What's that?
You know, they would just have to install a sump pump on that. If it is a perimeter drain or anything like that, you would just put in something.
I'm talking about bait drains that are floor drains.
Still, you could run those to a sump pit.
But then what do you do with the sump pit?
Pump it out onto the ground. The drain water.
So I guess all I'm saying is, if we're going to do this, then we need to have say this is what you this is the way to correct it, because there are a lot of houses with the floor drains.
Well, then you're going to get into you do that, and they're going to get in because everyone's going to be different. So you're going to have a specific set of plans for each possibility out there. It just needs to be corrected. I don't think it's our obligation to tell the people how to fix it, not how to fix it. They need to fix it, but not necessarily tell them how.
Would it be a good assumption to say that? Also, by doing this ordinance, that any new construction would also be, I mean, it would be clearly identified.
Oh, yeah, it's stated right in there. Any new connections, they can be hooked up to sanitary lines, same way with storm sewers and all that. It has to be.
Is that something that's already with the building department, though?
That's in our ordinance, too. You can't have a install combined sewers or anything like that anymore. So, yeah, that should be covered under ordinance for new construction.
But, I mean, you do have a list of acceptable ways of fixing it. Because, you know, we're saying what we've approved in the past is now no longer acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So what's to say someone fixes it and it's 2 years, 5 years down the road? That's no longer acceptable.
Probably develop something like that, possibly.
I'm not a plumber, though. No, I understand that. But, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, a lot of these houses had inspections done.
Mm-hmm.
The building inspector signed off on them and said you're in compliance, and now we're passing an ordinance that's saying you're not in compliance. Everything we told you before is wrong. So who do they go to find out what is correct and what's allowed?
That might be, we might be able to put some together for suggestions, and that's something, you know, we could put on the website. I don't know if Marcia would be able to stick something like that in the ordinance under.
Or would you not do that in the ordinance? I don't know if you want to get into advising people.
That's my thought, I say.
You know, again, we're doing this because we're required to, I think.
Well, I understand that, but
well,
I mean,
but
if you have a building inspection done and they're signed off on it, where's the recourse for the homeowner that says, you know, I followed the rules, and now 5 years later, I'm no longer in compliance.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't know that the city wants to go into general contracting and doing things. I don't know that that's. I don't think we want to take on that liability.
So you're saying if someone knows they're not in compliance, they need to hire a contractor, and the contractor can tell them how to fix it.
The city should be on both sides of the issue.
But who's providing the guidelines to say this is now in compliance is what I'm getting at. Because at the time it was originally done, it was in compliance.
That's what we're dealing with in the whole town right now. I mean,
Well, I guess I would say this, is when you do, and I obviously I don't know enough about this, but when you do construction within your home, do you have to get some kind of permit, or is that just outside of your home?
You have to get a building permit, right. And the building inspector signs off on it that, you know, you've met X, Y, and Z, your plumbing, your electrical, all of this qualifies. They yeah. sign off on it.
Well,
so we're saying what we've allowed
in the past. Yeah. But I guess what I would say, Ben, though, also is that, I mean, if you have to get the building inspector for your internal changes anyways, then he's going to know, he or she is going, I mean, should be up to date with what's happening and what the rules and the ordinances are, I would assume.
And a contractor should know. I mean, if you hire a contractor.
But you're saying the city's not going to say what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
No, I don't. I think what he's saying is that we're not going to tell them what exactly they should do. I mean, I think we spell out what is not allowed. And so, assumingly, anything that we don't talk about is allowed.
For now.
Well, yeah, but how do we project into the future what the federal government's going to say is and is not allowed anymore?
Well, I don't disagree with that, but
yeah.
There's no recourse on the homeowner. I mean, a $250 fine per day.
Yeah.
You know. On top of having to fix the problem.
Right.
Can this affect, like, if you have a house that's not in compliance and you sell the house, can it affect the sale of the house? Like, can you, would it have to be fixed before you can sell the house?
I don't know if it's balanced, because something like that happened to me when I sold my house. When I had inspected, I was told I had 100 amp service. We could find out later. I didn't. I had 60 amp service feed in my house with a 100 amp fuse box in the basement, but it was only fed by 60 amp service. So I had everything all redone and put a brand new 100 amp service. And I talked to Larry about when I wanted to sell my house. The meter box, nobody had told me the meter box had to be so far. If it was so far away from like an or a disconnect, you had to have a disconnect in. So I ended up spending an extra $500 or so just to sell my house because I had to have a disconnect installed because the meter box was, or the breaker box was too far away. I didn't know it. I was just stuck with it. Nothing I could do.
So you could have to fix this if you want to sell the house.
You possibly could have to fix it, or you know, it just it goes on. It doesn't cause any problems.
I would assume under the
inspection point that if something's tied in like that, it should be called.
I mean, the odds are if you're just selling your house, you would never know that,
right.
Unless there was some kind of construction project going on out front and we located the tap into our line.
Well, the assumption
the people that own the house probably don't even know where it's connected.
That's true.
I mean,
I don't know how many there is, but like, does it, if we get into smoke testing, everybody's going to know that they're tied in. If you smoke test a sanitary line and it bubbles up into your basement or something like that, you're going to know you're tied in somewhere. Something's tied in, because other than that, it's not going to come up in your sinks or anything like that because the drafts are going to stop.
And if I remember, when we had talked about this on the stormwater ordinance side, I think what we had said was is that when we do smoke, when eventually when we get to the point where we do smoke testing, that it's going to be a flexible period that we're going to give our citizens. I think am I remembering correctly? I mean, this was last year we did this, but I think if I remember right, we had said that it was something that as we smoke tested, there'd be a lot of information given out to our citizens, and we'd give give time for them to fix it because it is a new thing. But and my guess is your next question is going to be, but this says it's $250 a day.
Right, so it's 30 days, shall we?
30 days.
A reasonable time limit.
Yeah.
So.
You'd have 30 days to refer your problem, huh?
Are you right? But it has to follow state guidelines.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying we have no way of dealing with it when it comes up other than tell the homeowner it's your problem. And a homeowner may have had a home inspection and it's not mentioned anywhere. I mean, I just see it opening doors for all kinds of lawsuits. I mean, if I buy a house and 6 months later you smoke test and say you've got 30 days to fix this $10,000 problem that wasn't disclosed to me when I bought the home,
I don't think it'd be a $10,000 problem.
But let me ask the question, though. In that situation, though, is that the city's fault? It's not the city's fault that it was disclosed. But it is the city's problem because they're dumping, illegal dumping, if you will, into our system. So while it's, the city's not at fault for not disclosing that in that situation. Now, again,
no, but I mean, the realtor, the inspector, there's a lot of people that aren't aware that we're doing this.
Right.
I don't see where they could actually come back on the city because we had nothing to do with the sale or purchase of that property. That would have been between the seller and the buyer.
Yeah.
And if we find that there's a problem, then I don't know why, like I said,
it's not a city problem, but it could be the person that sold the home or the person that listed the home or.
Well, I've
been there, I know. I've paid for things that weren't disclosed to me, so I know exactly where you're coming from on this. I don't have an answer for you, to be honest. But I don't know how we as a city can actually, or as a department, like Marcus said, get into telling people, you have a problem and you need to fix it, but I don't think we need to say, you need to, take this and run it over here, and then right now I don't think we need to get into that. That's not our place to do that.
Well, and I think if I remember correctly, again, going back to the stormwater discussion that we had, was that part of the education component had to do with realtors and plumbing companies and that kind of stuff, where we would have the opportunity, or that we would take the opportunity to inform these individuals of these laws and what we're doing and all that kind of stuff, I think. Now, timeline-wise, again, I don't know where that falls, but I think that was part of the proactive strategy of letting these individuals know that this is something that we're being forced to do, and so you should know as realtors selling the houses or as inspectors, reviewing the houses as a whole and inspecting the homes, that these are ordinances that we now have because the state has told us we have to have these kind of ordinances and this is what we're expecting. And that may be something we could actually start informing inspectors and realtors now. I mean, we can...
I'd be more than happy to jump in, on a proactive educational approach to do this along with stormwater, because the gate runs coincide.
There's really no way for us, when we're televising a sanitary line, if there's a tap that we see coming into it, there's no way for us to know what's tied into that. So we would never be able to figure that out.
So basically, it sounds like the only way we'd really know would be smoke testing, or if there was some kind of a big backup or something that we would just happen to stumble upon it, right?
Well, the last one, it was during a construction process that we were replacing it down Chauncey Street?
Yep.
That was stormwater.
But it was stormwater, but yeah. Yes is the answer to your question. I mean, yes, we did come across that during a construction project.
And that's just, you're not the only one. I know a business that is located in town that has one of the most sophisticated sump pump systems I've ever seen that pumps directly into our system. And like I said, if we smoke testing, then it will probably fill this building up. So, like I said, you're not the only one, and I know there's several out there. I'm not out to point at you, point at them, point at whoever. I'm just going by what my permit tells me I have to do, and we modified this, and that's what it stands for. Like I said, I'm more happy to work with Jeff on the educational process. And, this is something new that we changed. We just have to work through it and come up with a solution that works for everybody. I know that didn't answer your question, but hopefully you did a better understanding anyway. I know it didn't give you an answer.
But we're having problems keeping people in houses now, and that's just one more regulation that someone's going to have to ask.
Is there a timeline that this has to be done by, passed down by the feds, or is
it's already there. It's already, you can't, it's illegal to discharge from one into sanitary sewer.
Right now.
By state guidelines. That's been a law. We just have to have it in our ordinance per my permit. It was there
but it wasn't, the verbiage wasn't correct. Stormwater changed theirs, which made ours different, so we need to change it to go along with the updates that they've done on the stormwater purpose.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion? I don't get a motion, it does not pass.
I'll make a motion that we pass ordinance 2013-1 on first reading.
Okay. Motion by Nicole.
Second.
Seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. It'll move to second reading. Okay. Next up, ordinance 2013-4. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Nicole, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read 2013-4 by title only.
Ordinance 2013-4, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
I will turn this over to Kelly and probably a little bit of Tim.
Yeah, Tim and I reviewed this together, both in agreement with this. When we were going through our sign replacement, there's a lot of yields that are out there. One-way and two-way yields, and we proposed to change those over to stop signs. And that's what the top section is about. It's more of a public safety request, I think, rather than having the yields in place. It makes more sense to have stop signs where they're at now. And then one of these is a request for the parking on South Line Street between Market and First Alley north of Market. No parking on both sides of the street. There's been some people parking there, and I guess there's been some concerns by law enforcement.
Yeah, just south of the alley behind the Van Buren Center. On the west side of the road, there's been a few people parking there. And I think it creates an issue where that street's fairly narrow anyhow, and when we get some vehicles parked there, it's I believe it creates a problem. It's even tight for sometimes cars or trucks to go through there, and I think if we get, you know, fire trucks, ambulance, or bigger vehicles moving down Line Street, it's a potential problem.
So you're talking about the area just south of the angle parking that's along the Van Buren?
Yes. Yes, it'd be just south of that alley, on the west side of the road.
Clear to Market Street.
The two spaces?
Well,
it's the whole street, or the whole half a block from Market to the...
Yeah, I guess I'm saying, though, right now we have people parking in two spaces.
Spaces. In front of the Oak Sale Right building is where they're parking, but we want to make that whole half block from Market to the alley, no parking.
I don't know that there's really spaces there, but there's two vehicles parked there.
There's enough room for two vehicles, I guess, to park there.
Okay.
And then the end of this is just 20 mile an hour speed limits in residential areas.
Okay. Bill, I know we had talked earlier today. Did you get things straightened out? Or?
Well, there's some things that I'd like to have us consider if we can add to this, I think. One of them is Bolton Drive, which is on the east side of the Walmart parking lot. It's a little dead-end street that goes off. And I believe that we should make that no parking on both sides. Once they start construction on the west side of the building for the renovations that are being done there, the west side of that shopping center, I believe that those semis that park there will migrate to the east side of the building. If they park on Walton Drive, which right now is legal to do, there's no way that any of the trucks that are delivering to any of those businesses in that shopping center will be able to get down that road.
And you're talking about the construction on the old Scotts building?
Right.
And and just as a FYI, I think the parking committee had approved that. It just didn't make it onto this. So I think the parking committee had approved that change. So
was that Walton Drive, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Walton.
I think there's no parking on the east side, but maybe not the west side now, so.
Okay.
I still, yeah, and I still think it's a street that doesn't really need parking on it. There's
right. Yeah, if a semi parks there, the other trucks can't get behind the building. And I know Walmart has voiced some concern about it now that Sears has moved in there, and they'll have large trucks coming back behind the building also. We want to make sure that.
I think somebody had a trailer there with a mower on it, like an advertisement last year or something.
Really?
That the manager was wanting to get moved or something out of Walmart.
Is it LaRue mowing or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
That's how it was. Okay, so that was one.
That was one. Another issue was that the residents that live on Ellsworth Street west of Oak have asked that we lower the speed limit in that section. The speed limit, I think, is 20 mile an hour on Oak Street or on Ellsworth Street to just west. I believe it just goes west of Oak on Ellsworth. And then it's unposted, so 30 miles an hour. And on that section of street, there's a hill that comes from the west that goes down, and there's a hill that comes from the east that goes down, and they could, those hills converge right in front of these of the new housing that in the last few years has been going out west there on Ellsworth. And that, the Habitat, that's right. And that's where that little girl was hit by a little pickup truck 4 weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And as we've been down there running radar, the homeowners have approached and asked if we could get that lowered. I think I went down there and did some measurement. If we extend the 20 mile an hour zone from Oak Street 670 feet west, it would cover all the residences on that section, and end there right on the drive, the private drive that goes to the old Dana plant.
Not up on the hill, but kind of down in.
It would be right at the bottom of the hill, basically, at the bottom of both hills. So yep. Traffic coming from the west would still be going where it's wide and there's nothing there. They would still be able to go 30 mile an hour, but when they got close to the residential area, they'd have to reduce their speed to 20, and any traffic coming out of town going westbound would have 20. To continue to do 20.
Yep.
Until they're out of the residential area, which I think is appropriate given that protection.
It's going to be hard to do going down a hill like that. It's the same way with Old 30 by the FOP.
Oh, yeah.
You about have to ride your brakes to go 30 until you get to Lincoln Way.
Yep.
And it just, I don't know. I understand where that's coming from, being in a residential area like that, but, I mean, I don't know. Hannah Street's another one from Ohio Street out to Tower View. You can't hardly go 20 for down that area, but kind of getting on that topic.
Well, that's why
that
I think
particular spot.
I agree when you're west of the hill to the west, I guess, as you're going westbound, you'd be going uphill, but coming eastbound, you'd be going downhill. That's a long, relatively steep hill, and since there's no houses there, I don't see any problem with people going 30 mile an hour, but going through town, hill or no, it's a residential area, and most of those areas throughout the city are marked 20 anyway. I think anything that we can do to maybe slow them down, so we don't.
And then consistently with in that area with those Habitat homes that are, there's quite a few of them there right now. I think there's a lot of kids running around in that.
There's a lot of small children in the area.
Yeah.
It's definitely that area has definitely grown tremendously over the last couple of years with those homes going up.
I mean, I understand why we stopped at 20 before, because there wasn't hardly anything west of that. But now as it starts to develop west, I think we need to extend that further out.
Well, I don't I personally don't have a problem with it, but I'd like to kind of ask what the council, the council has objections or opinions on that.
Well, there's having running traffic down there in the recent past, 40 is a pretty common speed coming down that road. So
we're trying to slow down 30.
I don't think there's currently any stop signs going east and west right there, is there, at Oak Street?
One of those streets is two way.
I don't believe that there is. I think it's just stopping.
Yeah, one way. That might be something to consider to try to
flip it.
Well, just make it a four-way stop. Four-way. But that's just an opinion.
Well, would that be something the council would be interested in, making that a four-way stop right there? It would be Ellsworth and Oak.
Right. With an Oak. Yeah. In addition to reducing the speed?
Either way.
I don't know if the four-way stop is really going to reduce speed a whole lot, to be completely honest. I think normally people are going to stop quickly, they're going to get right back on the gas and get going again. So I don't know that stop signs are really a good way for us to reduce.
Well, it's certainly not going to stop them if they're going east or going eastbound.
Yeah.
Because they'll be through that area before they get to the stop sign.
But sounds like consensus is okay with 20. I'm seeing a lot of shaking hands. Okay. So we'll maybe revisit it next year and see if it's been helpful or not. Or, I mean, ultimately, there's places in our city that speed limit signs aren't helpful. As much as we try and as much as we monitor them, people still go ridiculously above the speed limit, but putting others in danger. But we try to do as much as we can with the manpower we have.
Provide the parameters of this again. And you said a footage, or it might have to put a.
When I measured it today, that private drive was 670 feet west of the center of the intersection of Oak and Ellsworth. There just wasn't a good way to
mark it.
To come up with a location to start, because there wasn't another intersection down there.
Okay, so that's when the 20 starts?
That's where it
starts from the west,
I believe.
And stops from the east, right?
Yeah,
starts from the west and stops from the east.
It stops now, it stops just, I think, just west of Oak Street on Ellsworth. So we would want it to extend another almost 670 feet.
West of Ellsworth.
West of Oak Street.
Oh, west of Oak.
On Ellsworth.
I talked to Doug and he was in that one.
Okay. Next.
The last one I had was brought to my attention by one of the supervisors on the police department, who thought that Oak Street, north of North Street, that wasn't included in the 20-mile-an-hour zone. I don't know if it's currently in the orders or not, but the way we're going is those residential areas, we're making them 20 instead of 30s, so that would make sense.
Okay. If it's not in there, I wholeheartedly support that being 20. It'd be ridiculous to get up to 30 in that area.
Well, it doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, well, yeah, I know. Dead ends. Well, dead ends near
Oak,
near
north of North. Oak Street, north of North Street.
Of
North Street. Right. That would make sense for there to be a 20, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's it? That's the three?
That's what I have.
Perfect. Okay. Any other questions, concerns?
I did have someone bring up to me the possibility of putting parking at least on one side on Oak Street again, since the hospital's gone. I guess at one time it was removed because of the EMS is going down there. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, there is, I think, three parking spaces put in, parking areas in their backyards for them.
Okay.
To accommodate that.
I will give a little more information for you then. Parking Committee actually looked at this issue, and as we kind of looked at it, there were kind of two concerns that popped up. The first concern being that when Oak Street was made, no parking, that there was investment put into some of those houses to have parking behind, to have parking off street, first of all. Second of all, the other issue was that we're still kind of up in the air about the development at the hospital property and how that's going to affect everything. And I'm not sure how wide that street is, but I think that was another concern, if I'm starting to remember correctly, was the width of the street didn't provide for enough asphalt to have parking. Am I off base with that? I don't know. We'll have to take a look at it. That's what we're thinking, that was something we also had brought up. So we'll take a look at it again, Parking Committee. That's fine. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns?
I don't want to.
Hearing none, can I have a motion?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2013-4. First reading.
Second.
Motioned by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading. Okay. Now, department head reports. We will start with Kelly.
We're working on getting a grinder company in for the lead pile. Should be at the end of this month. And then we've been working on our sign replacement. We just talked about a lot of that. And working on televising for the South Walnut Street stormwater project. And just doing a lot of work in there. We got a couple castings that are concrete that we need to change out and put metal castings in. In that area, we'll be doing some work on that this week. That's all I have really at this time.
Okay. Questions of Kelly? Thank you. Mark?
DeVol Field, if you've driven by it recently, it's finished as far as the fencing goes. It looks real nice. Had a lot of comments about it, and so we're excited to use it this summer. We're still working on remodeling the pavilion. If you've been in there, it does look a little different. And I'd encourage you to stop by if you want to see the ceiling that's going in and just seeing what it looks like now. But we'll be getting quotes for the bathroom work here next week, so we'll be able to start hopefully moving in that direction, finishing the bathrooms. The father-daughter dance was last Friday, and it was our largest one. We had 500 people there. We hosted it at the 4-H Center this year. I was really pleased with having it there. Obviously, we have some glitches and things we've got to improve on. That would be servicing people quicker with the food line. That was something that with 500 people, it just took a lot longer. And so we have to have more tables and improve things there. We're also talking about maybe doing another event in the fall that might be for families. Again, something similar. Just throwing out some ideas today in the office for that. Our city really likes having those family events, and they support it well. So we thought maybe having another something for, we could add 600 people there. I mean, so if people didn't get tickets for something like that, maybe this would be something else for them to go to. Getting ready for baseball and softball season. I know that Melinda's been meeting with the two different committees for baseball and softball. They're working hard and getting ready. I think it'll be a good summer. But baseball registration and softball registration is going on right now in the office, so that'll go on through February. Also, I was trying to get the concessions ready and staffing and things like that ready for the summer. The Fall Festival, we'll be doing that again. The date for that is September 21st. So you put that on your calendar. We'll be doing that again this year. And we did have an Aquatic Facility Task Force meeting last week. And we'll have another one in March. A lot of brainstorming went on there. I think everybody feels we need to try to get the help of someone professionally to help us make decisions and do some planning for what we need here. I did contact Councilman Hunsicker this week and got a proposal from them as to what their costs what it costs for their services. So I'm just trying to get that put together for the task force.
Should be noted that Councilman Hunsinger is a the company that specializes in pools, aquatic facilities, things like that. It's not a council member from this group. Okay, questions from Mark? Thank you, Mark. Tom?
Other than our newsletter that I'm hoping all of you received from us, we went and assisted Columbia Township about a week and a half ago in reference to a structured fire that occurred on 50 East, just about 100 yards outside of the city limits. So, other than that, everything's good on the home front.
Okay. Questions to Tom? Thank you, Tom. Jeff?
John Goetz and I have been working on a rain barrel program proposal. We'll be meeting with the mayor shortly on that. Hope to get that program up and going this spring. The South Line Street storm sewer project has been completed. As you recall, that was a separation project and wanted to get it staged to precede the phase two of South Line Street improvements. And as the mayor noted at the Board of Works, that project did come in on budget. So we were excited about that. GIS committee recently met. We're still gathering information to present a comprehensive program to the Board of Works for consideration. We continue to find, courtesy of Mr. Techno Guy, second guy over here, Sean has really embraced this, and there's just the sky's the limit with what's available and what you can do with GIS, and I'm in a steep learning curve. It's just amazing what you can do. So we're having to try to pull it together and make it something that's doable for our community. So aside from that, the design continues on the Southwest Storm Project, and a shout out to Kelly and his guys for doing a lot of work to do jetting and camera work down there for to help with the design of what's already there. So that's all I've got this evening.
Questions for Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Larry?
We checked the subs as usual on our Monday tour. We got the conduit in place for our project. We have a Columbia Shores, and then the weather changed on us, so we were unable to get that bored and finished. We had 38 shutoffs, trimmed trees and picked up the brush. We continued with our stump grinding. We have, I think, two left, so we've gotten that project about completed, other than the backfill and the seeding, which will come a little later in the spring. Tested the regulators, changed switch, installed copper seas, new bird swings on North Oak Street, changed the transformer at Circle Drive out of Big Lake, and Sean is going to continue about the Circle Drive on Big Lake. I want to introduce Sean. I think you all know him as Sean Lickey, who will be taking my place. My time of departure is May 31st. I've enjoyed every single day of my journey with the city. I appreciate it very much. Sean was a fourth-year lineman when I started, and I got him up to this position, but it took me 10 years. So I think he'll do fine, and I wish him luck. And again, I thank the city for putting up with me.
Larry, we appreciate your service, and while I'm sure retirement will be lovely, I do appreciate the work, and I know I speak for council, obviously, and the great work that you've done and how you've led the department. And while we're sad to see you go, we're also happy that Sean's willing to step up to this position, and look forward to his leadership. Any other comments from the council? Be remiss if I give you an opportunity. No one likes you, Larry, so. No, like I said, I'm sure
kind of bashful. I'm kind of bashful anyway.
I see. Yes. Yes, you are. So, again, we appreciate your work, and we'll miss you. But we still got plenty of meetings between now and May, so you're not allowed to take any time off. So. That's right, we have to May 31st.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Sean?
Just to continue what Larry's saying, I feel like I'm having deja vu, but I did attend meetings all day yesterday down at Indiana Municipal Power Association orientation meetings. I'll be stepping in as commissioner representing Chinda City on February 22nd on the date. And there's still plenty of time between now and when my retires for him to pass on his knowledge and agitate as best he can. Larry's been a great leader, and I appreciate everything he's done for us and the department. As he was saying, Circle Drive, we have a couple projects coming up, one of which is a job we estimated out, and the customer's going to pay for the project. And we saw one of our council members up there today checking on it, so that was nice. Larry will be here in March, maybe not in April, he'll be here in May, so you got some months left to jab at Larry.
Questions of Larry or Sean? Okay.
The consumer did say that Sean was a little better looking than Larry.
Huh. Sean was a little better looking than Larry.
Uh-oh. Well, he's a lot younger.
That's what she said.
I'm well aged, though.
I second that.
Please, Tim, go.
Tim?
Our new officer is working on getting his perf packet completed. Last week he had his physical. This coming Friday he has his mental examination. So once those are completed, we hope to get the perf packet sent off early next week. And then once we send that off, we're at the mercy of the state to get approval for him. So we don't know when that will be. We'll just have to wait until we get the packet back from perf.
I think there's a lot of department heads that are glad they don't have to go through that same evaluation.
It is quite the packet to get through. Last week, the captain and I, the sheriff, the chief deputy, and a sergeant from the state police, we met with the superintendent and administrators from each school, including the director of transportation, athletic director. It was a large meeting where we discussed school safety and security. We've all agreed that we need to take a proactive approach, so there will be multiple meetings upcoming, and a walkthrough scheduled at each school in the corporation to analyze the crisis and safety plans at each school in the corporation.
That'd be great.
So we'll have a lot of time and energy in that this year. We've chosen three reserves to be added to our department, and the next Board of Works meeting, I will present those three because they need to be approved by the Board of Works. But we're excited to get them geared up and go into training. February is a busy month for us. We have many officers that are attending some outside training courses and getting some certifications this month. So just trying to keep the schedules covered the best that we can and get these guys to training. February is a big month for us for training. Monday, Officer Fittinger and I went to the residents in Allen County, the Wetland family. They're the ones that found Stryker. We presented them with a certificate of appreciation, and it was just kind of nice to meet them and hear their story about finding Stryker in the goat pen the next morning. So it was just nice to meet them, and again, appreciate that their vigilance and awareness in finding him and notifying the proper authorities. We may get our two new vehicles in the next couple weeks, a little sooner than normal, but we've got word that they're on their way, so once those get in, we'll get those equipped and get them on the road. And in 2013, we're going to start having some law enforcement outings kind of geared towards building camaraderie and promoting some wellness. That's all I have.
Questions of Tim? Okay. Thank you, Tim. Not one question about Stryker in each of the meetings. That's fine. Terry?
a company named InDigital was in last week and dispatched running wiring for the new 911 system that will be installed. Office Concept dropped off two new copiers last Friday. We got those installed in the mayor's office and the utility office. Have about eight more MFPs, multi-function printers, come in that I need to get installed hopefully by the end of next week. We had our IDAX inspection Monday, and we were past that, and so we should be good for another year, year and a half. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry?
Yeah.
I actually had a question for Mark, but you might, I wasn't fast enough, so you might be able to answer it.
I'm trying to see where they overlap between Mark and Terry.
I'm excited. I was asked recently if if the city was looking at providing internet access at our parks for the public. Is that something that we can
not at this time?
Okay. I don't need to be a white guy.
I think the problem is Terry. Okay. Other questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Mike.
I got an email last week from Bowen Engineering stating that the motors on our bridge cranes are indeed indoor motors, which I have and my staff has expected ever since they put it up. On a continued basis, we would do our monthly inspections on our bridge crane, and one motor continually was always locked out, even though they come out several times. This time they actually took the motor down, took it with them, disassembled it, took pictures of it, and sent it in, and discovered that it is an indoor motor instead of an outdoor motor. So we'll be receiving four new motors, brakes, and the whole everything to make that an outdoor that we can use. This weekend, I gave us some thought, and I sent an email back to him requesting that the crane also be torn apart and inspected just like the bridge was, because it came as a package deal, so it's a good possibility that the motors on the crane are also indoor instead of outdoor duty. So they've agreed to that, so we'll come in and inspect those. I don't know if we'll do it ahead of time or when they come to do the repairs on the I'm going to give a thanks to Jeff and Kelly for the CSO operational plan. We've been working on that. We're not quite finished yet, but we're getting close. And just you guys have been talking to myself, been working really hard on that, and when we're all done with this, should be several thousand dollars of savings to say. Writing it in-house instead of having somebody else do it for us. We're still working on the generator project request and still collecting bids from that. This week I've been working with through emails and phone calls with Beth Shellman and Casey Myers from the town of Albion. The Lions Club in Albion is proposing to put in a splice pad for the town of Albion, and they just had a lot of questions on what type of permits they need, the type of testing that we do, and things like that. So I've been answering questions and working with them on that. Under pretreatment, as I mentioned before, we were doing studies for baseline reporting or baseline monitoring for cyanide, copper, and mercury. Pretty much finished up with that. We will start phosphorus and molybdenum now, running baselines on that, and hopefully to have that in ordinance by October. Give the industries 3 months of notice that they can about the new limits, and that gives them the 90 days to make the adjustments to their process to meet our limits, and then hopefully have it take effect January 1st, 2014. And that's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. Marcia?
Just briefly, Rosie brought to my attention, I want to go back to the traffic schedules. Oak Street isn't listed at all in the ordinance. Is it supposed to be? What is its speed limit? What is it? Besides north of Oak Street.
It should be 20.
I would think it'd be 20 all the way through, personally.
Okay, well, it's not in there at all.
Put it in there,
guide that. Is the council okay with making
it'd
it
be
20
30
all the way
if
through
it's
Oak
not
Street?
Posted.
Okay, so
where
is that? Is that state statute?
State statute.
Yeah, it's 30 if it's not
it's
posted.
Not posted, automatically turns into a 30 zone.
Okay, so it's 30 anywhere on it then.
anywhere in town if it's not posted.
No, 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 I mean on Oak Street, because
yes,
it's not
Ridley.
Listed at all.
Correct.
So are we wanting the entire Oak Street to be 20?
Well, I'm not sure it's not posted.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not
posted. There might
be
signs that are actually there, but
oh, no,
that's
sure
supported by
sure
ordinance.
That way, I'm talking about the ordinance.
Right, but it should be
yes.
In the ordinance.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, should we have a vote on that to include that in the ordinance?
Let's keep that up the ballot.
Did you, and I apologize, I can't remember already, did you vote on the ordinance with those three changes?
Yes.
And Oak Street was in there. I just didn't say from what.
It was north of North Street. Well, we can just take a quick vote to amend that.
Yeah, to amend your, I amend the motion and or let that,
to include.
To amend your motion to amend your
ordinance. Yeah.
Whatever,
so moved.
Jackie,
so moved. I'll second it. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous, okay? Since, oh, Bill seconded it, right?
Yes.
Yes. Is that it?
Yes, that is.
Okay. Rosie.
Nice catch.
I was, with the council's permission, I was going to start the process to reestablish our cue cards, the park, the fire, and the street.
Please.
Stormwater.
They don't want a cue card.
I'm going to go to the list and do every one I can possibly do. And try and put everybody in one of them. No, if that's okay, because it takes a while. Once you get it approved, it has to go to the state, and then you have to leave it sit for a while to see if there's any remonstrances, and it needs to get done early enough that it can be on the budget. So,
so did it expire, or did they just lower the rate?
No, they just with the
reassessments.
They don't want you to get a windfall of them, and so it just the tax rate just keeps going down, 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 and so the money you get is just nothing compared to what you did get. So what you have to do is reestablish it.
Probably every
yeah,
4 or 5 years.
And they've never been reestablished.
Yeah.
So with the higher reassessments, are you taking in more money?
Yes.
Okay. So they're saying since we're taking in more money, we don't.
They won't let you have it, so they just knock your rate down.
Okay.
So it cuts what we get. You know, like.
Which? Oh, yeah.
For instance, like, let's just say the fire one, because it's first year. We used to get like $72,000, now we're getting $40,000. And the street, we used to get $102,000, now we're getting $60,000.
And what that does, to give you the next step, is that means that the burden for those, specifically those two departments, added Mark's department, then gets shifted over to the tax budget, which then takes away from communications and police and those kind of things. And so we have to supplement what would normally come out of those CUM funds with the regular tax budget.
So you need a motion to reestablish them, or what do you need?
Well, I was just going to let you know that I was going to start the process. It you have to have a public hearing, and you have to vote on and everything. I have to advertise it, but I wanted to make sure you guys were on board before I did it.
Just kidding.
So you just general
consensus.
Yeah.
Coffee
and
township.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll make budgeting easier as a future.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jackie? Nothing? I had a couple things. I wanted to give a tip of the hat to Senator Banks. He has put forward some legislation to try to make it easier for us as in the city to advertise things, advertise public meetings, things to that effect. The paper probably is not pleased with that that legislation, but basically allows us to publish online instead of having to go through the somewhat costly process of our public hearing notices and things like that. We can actually do that online. So I wanted to give Jim a tip of the hat on that. IACT obviously supports that because it would cut back on the amount of money we have to spend on advertising each year. Also, obviously, want to give a tip of the hat to Kathy, Representative Hewer, for her work in some economic development projects that she's been working on at the state level. Derek Heinen has been my intern for the last couple of months, and he will be ending here soon before the next council meeting, so I wanted to thank him publicly for his help. He's worked a lot on a lot of different projects. He's met with all our department heads, so kind of a neat thing he's been able to do and work on a lot of different projects. So. And then I also wanted to let you know that I have a meeting scheduled next Wednesday with our commissioners to discuss some of the parking issues. I just wanted to let you know that I'm meeting with them on that. So, besides that, I think I'm good to go. Okay. Ben? Okay. Nicole? And Bill? Nothing. Media? Nope. Okay. Then we will adjourn. Thank you, everybody.